All right, everyone, welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling a story called The Backyard Burial and the Time Capsule's Wish. And this one is, well, let's just say it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, definitely has that creepy factor for sure.
So we've got a collection of notes and excerpts to sort through. And honestly, the biggest question we have is whether this is a true story or just a really, really good horror story.
Right, right. That's what makes it so interesting. I mean, even if it's fictional, you know, it still kind of reveals something about us, about human psychology, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's something about these kinds of stories that just gets under your skin. So for those of you who haven't heard this one, let me give you the rundown, okay? The story is about these four childhood friends, and they bury a time capsule. Each kid puts a wish inside. Years go by, two of the friends disappear, nobody knows what happened to them, and the third friend, his name is Lucas, he starts to get this really bad feeling about the whole time capsule thing.
Oh, I bet.
So he decides to go check on the fourth friend, Ryan. And, well, let's just say he finds something that's straight out of a nightmare.
Okay, now you have to tell me, what does he find?
Three freshly dug graves in Ryan's backyard.
There.
With the time capsule sitting right next to them.
Oh, wow. That is chilling.
And it gets even creepier, okay? Because Ryan's wish in the time capsule, it was that his friends would never leave his backyard. Talk about foreshadowing, right?
And that's just, wow. So that's where it gets really interesting to me. Like, was this a plan all along?
I think so.
The beginning? Or did something happen in those missing 24 years? Something that pushed Ryan over the edge? The story doesn't really give us any clear answers, which honestly makes it even more unsettling.
It really does. It's like one of those unsolved mysteries, you know?
Yeah.
You're left with this lingering sense of what the heck happened. And on top of all that, we've got these snippets from an Instagram account called Inspector Story, which seems to be connected to the podcast somehow.
Huh. Interesting.
And they're kind of, you know, having some fun speculating about the story. So we figured, hey, why not join in on the fun?
Absolutely. It's always fun to speculate, especially with a story this intriguing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of the sources we came across actually talks about something called fictional narrative analysis.
A fictional narrative analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the idea is that even made up stories like this one can teach us something about human behavior, about, you know, why people do the things they do. So even though we might not have all the facts, we can still try to figure out what the story is trying to tell us, what the themes are, what the characters represent.
I like that. So we're going to be like detectives examining the clues and seeing what we can piece together.
Precisely. And I think there are some pretty universal fears at play here, right? Betrayal, isolation, maybe even this fear of losing control.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes you think about the dark side of human nature, even in, you know, seemingly normal people.
Absolutely. It challenges our perception of what's normal and what's not. It makes you wonder what lurks beneath the surface.
Exactly. So even if this story is completely made up, it taps into something very real, very primal about what it means to be human.
I completely agree. And it raises an important question for me. If we look at this through that fictional narrative analysis lens, what stands out to you? What themes or symbols are at play here?
Well, for me, the backyard itself seems pretty symbolic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be a safe space, you know, childhood memories, playing with your friends. But in this story, it becomes something much darker, almost like a prison.
Interesting, yeah. I see that. It could represent Ryan's need for control, his attempt to, you know, create this world where his friends could never leave him. It's kind of a twisted take on the idea of friendship, wouldn't you say?
Totally. And remember the other kids' time capsule wishes. The story mentions they were all pretty innocent, which makes Ryan stand out even more. It's like this stark contrast, you know, childhood dreams versus something much more sinister. And I have to admit, that detail, it kind of sends chills down my spine.
Yeah, it's definitely a detail that makes you pause and think, what would make a child wish for something like that? I mean, was there something already off about Ryan, even back then?
Right. And what about those 24 years that are just missing from the story? Could that hold the key to understanding why Ryan did what he did? We'll definitely have to dive into some theories about that later. But first, I'm curious about those other time capsule wishes. What were the other friends hoping for?
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? Unfortunately, the story doesn't give us any specifics about their wishes. It just emphasizes how innocent they were. Which, you know, thinking about it now, that makes the contrast with Ryan's wish even more disturbing. Like, he was already on a totally different path.
Yeah, I get that. It's like the story is hinting that, yeah, there was always something different about Ryan. Something that set him apart from his friends. Even in those seemingly innocent childhood games, Maybe there was a darker edge that nobody really noticed at the time.
Right. Or maybe something happened during those missing years that completely changed him. Some kind of trauma, a major loss, some event that totally warped his perception of reality.
You know, it kind of reminds me of that saying, hell hath no fury like a friend scorned. But instead of just cutting people off, Ryan goes and does something way more, you know, sinister, permanent. It's a terrifying thought, but it does make you wonder, how well do we really know the people we're closest to? Could there be this hidden side to them that we're completely oblivious to?
That's a really good question. It definitely makes you think about the nature of trust and how easily it can be shattered.
Okay, so before we totally spiral into an existential crisis here,
yes,
let's take a step back. We've got these time capsule wishes, the creepy backyard, and a whole bunch of unanswered questions about those missing 24 years. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If you were burying a time capsule today, what would you put in it? What hope or dream would you entrust to the future?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I would wish for the ability to always see the world with a sense of wonder, you know, like we did when we were kids before life got complicated. What about you? What would you wish for?
Tough one. Me, probably a lifetime supply of really good coffee. But seriously, this feels like a good spot to pause and let our listeners ponder that time capsule question for themselves. When we come back, we'll share some of our own wishes and start piecing together some theories about those missing 24 years. So stick with us. Welcome back, everybody. So before we got sidetracked talking about coffee, we were in the middle of trying to figure out what happened during those mysterious 24 years. Did something happen to Ryan? Something that, you know, triggered this dark turn?
Yeah, that's the big mystery, isn't it? Like, what could push someone to do something like that? I mean, one possibility is that something really traumatic happened during those years. Maybe he experienced a big loss, some kind of personal betrayal, you know, something that really messed with his sense of trust and maybe even fueled this need for control.
Yeah. It's starting to feel like we're in a psychological thriller trying to untangle all these twisted motives. But if we're going with that idea, wouldn't there have been, you know, some signs? Wouldn't someone have noticed Ryan, like, exhibiting some red flags over the years?
Well, yeah, that's true. But maybe he was just really good at hiding his true nature, you know, keeping it all bottled up. Or maybe the signs were there, but people just brushed them off. You know, maybe they thought he was just a little eccentric or just a loner.
Okay, hold on a minute. Are we saying Ryan was like a master manipulator this whole time?
Yes.
I mean, from what we know, his childhood seemed pretty normal, right? No indication of any sinister tendencies.
True. But we have to remember that even people who seem completely ordinary can have these dark secrets. We see it all the time, right? In real life. And don't forget about the power of, suggestion. Maybe that wish he made, even if it was innocent at first, it could have taken on a life of its own, like festering in his subconscious all those years.
Okay, I think I see what you're getting at. It's
yeah.
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The act of writing down that wish kind of planted this seed, and then it grew into something much darker. But if that's the case, what about his friends? Were they just like victims caught in the crosshairs of Ryan's messed up desires?
It's really hard to say for sure, but yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Maybe they just drifted apart from Ryan over the years and he saw that as a betrayal, or maybe he became super possessive of their friendship, couldn't handle it when their lives started changing.
And then there's the most, you know, the most chilling possibility of all, that those graves in the backyard, they're not just symbolic, they represent something much more, well, real. Like Ryan actually, you know, took things into his own hands because of this twisted sense of what friendship means.
I know. It's a truly horrifying thought. And we can't ignore it, especially with those missing 24 years. The silence itself is almost like an answer.
It really makes you question, you know, like what friendship really means. Where do the boundaries lie? When does a desire for connection turn into something, well, obsessive?
It's such a complex question. And it's something that I think each listener has to kind of wrestle with on their own. This story, it forces us to confront that potential for darkness, even in seemingly normal people, and maybe even within ourselves.
Yeah, it's like a reminder that you can't always judge a book by its cover, and that even wishes, things we think of as innocent, can have these unintended, even horrifying consequences.
That's so true. And sometimes the things we try to bury in the past, whether it's literal or, you know, just metaphorical, they have a way of coming back to haunt us.
Okay, so we've been going pretty deep here, exploring some pretty dark stuff. How about we shift gears a little bit? We've been focusing on Ryan and his, you know, potential motives. But what about his friends? Like Lucas, the one who found the graves.
Yeah.
What do you think was going through his mind?
Oh man, I can only imagine the shock, the horror, the betrayal to find out that someone you thought you knew, someone you trusted, could be capable of something so awful. It's just unimaginable.
Right. And not just capable, but willing to actually go through with it. It makes you wonder, did Lucas ever, like, suspect anything was off about Ryan? Was there something, some instinct that told him something was wrong? Or was this a total blindside?
That's a good question. I don't know if we'll ever have the answer to that, but it definitely makes you realize how important it is to pay attention to those little cues, you know, those gut feelings that tell you something isn't quite right.
So, are we saying that we should, like, be suspicious of everyone? That seems a bit, well, pessimistic, don't you think?
No, not necessarily suspicious, but just aware, you know,
Yeah.
aware that people are complex, that even good people can make terrible choices. It's not about living in fear, but just being a little more discerning, protecting yourself.
All right, before we go too far down that road, I think it's time to revisit those Instagram snippets we mentioned earlier, you know, from that Inspector Story account. They're taking a slightly lighter approach to this whole thing, which I think we could all use after all this heavy analysis.
Yeah, totally. A little bit of humor can go a long way, especially when dealing with something this dark.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to step back and find a bit of perspective.
Exactly. Speaking of perspective, what if we try to see things from Ryan's point of view? I mean, if we give him the benefit of the doubt, is there any way those graves aren't what they seem? Is there, like, a totally innocent explanation for all of this?
That's an interesting challenge. Could those graves be symbolic? Maybe they represent something other than actual death. Like maybe it's a metaphorical burial of his past, a way of cutting ties with something painful.
Okay, but if that were true, why all the secrecy? Why not just explain it to Lucas? Or to his other friends?
Well, maybe he just wasn't able to put those feelings into words, or maybe he thought they wouldn't understand, you know, that they'd judge him for how he was dealing with his pain.
I can see where you're coming from, but it still feels like a bit of a reach. Those graves, I mean, that image is so powerful, so disturbing. It's hard to imagine any explanation that doesn't involve something, well, dark and twisted.
You're right. That imagery really sticks with you, but maybe that's the point. Maybe the whole purpose of the story is to leave us with more questions than answers, to make us confront those uncomfortable truths about human nature.
You know what? All this mental gymnastics is giving me a headache. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll dive into some listener theories and see if we can shed some light on this twisted tale. Stay tuned. Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up this deep dive. I don't know about you, but this whole time capsule story, it's really got me thinking. It's like trying to put together a puzzle, but like half the pieces are missing.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so powerful, right? The fact that we don't have all the answers. It really forces us to, you know, sit with the ambiguity, to question our own assumptions about, well, about everything. Friendship, loyalty, even the dark side of human nature.
It's almost like this story is holding up a mirror, right? Not just to the characters, but to us, the listeners. And it's making us ask some tough questions, like, how well do we really know the people in our lives? And what are we capable of when those relationships, you know, when they're really tested?
Exactly. And I think it also speaks to a bigger kind of societal anxiety we have, you know, about trust, about betrayal. In a world where there's so much information, so many conflicting stories, it's easy to feel unsure about who to believe, who to trust.
And that kind of uncertainty, that can lead to, well, to a lot of things: fear, paranoia, even a need for control. Which brings us back to Ryan and that wish he made. We've explored all these different theories about why he did what he did, but at the end of the day, we're still left with this feeling of, well, just unease. Like, we'll never really understand what's going on in his head.
Yeah. And that's what makes a good story so good, right? It sticks with you. It makes you think. It challenges you to see things from different perspectives.
And speaking of perspectives, there's one thing we haven't really talked about. We've been looking at everything through Lucas's eyes, you know, the friend who found the graves. But what about Ryan? What about his side of the story? I mean, what if, in his mind, burying his friends in the backyard, what if he thought that was the only way to, I don't know, keep their bond alive?
That's an interesting point. It's easy to just label Ryan as, you know, the bad guy, but there's always more to the story, right? What if he genuinely believed he was doing the right thing, like protecting his friends from a world that he saw as dangerous or, I don't know, threatening?
So, are we saying he was like delusional, that he was living in some kind of alternate reality? Or could it be something even darker? You know, like maybe he was part of some kind of cult and they brainwashed him into thinking that what he did was justified.
I mean, those are definitely possibilities. But I think we're getting into speculation territory here. The story just doesn't give us enough information to know for sure. And maybe that's the point. Maybe the author wants us to resist that urge to label people, you know, to put them in these neat little boxes.
Yeah. Like, life is messy, people are complicated, and sometimes there just aren't any easy answers.
Exactly. And that's a good lesson to keep in mind no matter what kind of story we're talking about. Whether it's true crime, fiction, or even just, you know, everyday life, there's always more to the story than what we see on the surface.
So where does that leave us? I mean, we've analyzed this story, we've debated different theories, we've tried to see things from different angles, but at the end of the day, we're still left with this feeling of, you know, uncertainty. Like, what really happened back there?
And I think that's okay. Maybe the most important thing we can take away from this deep dive isn't a concrete answer, but just a, you know, a deeper understanding of how complex human relationships are and how powerful stories can be, how they can challenge our thinking and make us question everything.
Well said. I think that's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the dark side of childhood wishes and, well, storytelling itself.
And to all of you listening out there, remember, even when the answers are hard to find, the questions themselves can be just as valuable. So keep asking those questions, keep exploring, and keep sharing those time capsule wishes. You never know what stories they might inspire.
And until next time, stay curious.